A Ketchikan author has written a book, A Miserable Paradise, Life in Southeast Alaska, that was recently released. Joining me this morning is author Jeff Lund to tell us more about himself and his book. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you very much. And before we talk about the book itself, can you give us a little bit about yourself, your background, and how you came to write?
My parents moved to Klawock from Colorado when I was five, so I did all my schooling on Prince of Wales in Klawock, and then college in Arizona. I started my teaching career in California, then moved back to Klawock in 2013. Got a job teaching here in Ketchikan at K-High in 2014, and have been here since. As far as writing goes, I've been writing an outdoors column since 2008, and yeah, that's kind of the writing background.
What do you teach in? Are you at Ketchikan High School?
Yeah, I'm at the high school here. I teach English, so journalism, adventure lit, freshman, and science fiction lit.
Sounds like writing has always kind of been in your blood.
Yeah, I swore off teaching when I was a kid because my parents were both teachers, and so I, of course, was not going to do that. But then it ended up being pretty fun, and I really enjoyed that. Then writing on the side has been fun because I can do it on my own terms. You know, I have deadlines, but it's not my career. It's just something that I can do for fun on the side, and I really enjoy that.
And I understand you're an outdoor columnist for the Juneau Empire.
Yeah. When I came back, I was just looking for writing opportunities to keep my column going. And the Capital City Weekly was running, and they said, sure, you know, we'll take your column. And then I don't know if it was moved over or momentarily laid off. I don't know how that worked, but I started writing for the Juneau Empire, which has been pretty nice.
You mentioned their outdoor columns. What is the general, you know, kind of the, how would I say, what is the general format of your column?
Pretty much just telling stories of my ineptitude outside. You know, there's plenty of experts out there who are willing to write about how great they are at fishing and hunting and all that. So I take more of a humorous sort of Patrick McManus failing outdoor type attitude, which I think reflects most of us when we're outside. You know, we're not always perfect, and we don't pretend to be perfect. It's just, you know, I went out there and I forgot my flies, or I forgot my boots, or, you know, something like that. So it just makes it a lot of fun to be able to write little 700-word anecdotes about what I did over the weekend.
And let's speak about your book, A Miserable Paradise, Life in Southeast Alaska. What inspired you to write that?
I wanted to do a little bit of a longer piece. And so I started last year off writing with the goal of 5,000 words per month. And so it was just steelhead fishing and getting through the winter. And then when March happened and, of course, COVID happened, then it became a little bit more about kind of what I was feeling in that moment about teaching and then COVID and travel and all of that. So I didn't intend for it to be anything about, you know, anything serious other than the outdoors, but ended up having to be that. So I just wrote, it's divided into 12 chapters, which is the 5,000 words about each month. And, you know, ended up being a lot more thought-provoking maybe than I initially intended it to be. But that's just kind of what happened during 2020. And I didn't use any hindsight. So when I was doing my editing, I looked back at, you know, what I thought in March and April. And I thought, you know, I might think things different now, but that's what I thought at the moment. And I wanted to preserve that as kind of a snapshot or a time capsule.
Would you call it a memoir in a sense, or how would you describe it?
Yeah. Yeah, I would. Yeah.
Could you share maybe some reflections or some of the chapters, just a portion of it, maybe one that's pre-pandemic and one during the pandemic?
Yeah. I'll share this first one is from February. So it kind of goes about the weather. The thing is, I grew up here, so I should know better than to think we have winter kicked. At the same time, though, it's not just about knowing better. It's also understanding and appreciating that going from clear, cold, and beautiful to dark and rainy isn't a step back. It's just what happens here. You understand that the weather doesn't care how you feel, and nature owes you nothing. You don't just hit pause on life until things are nice and pretty. You find out that, yeah, you can be an optimist, and there are positive ways to combat the real seasonal affective disorder. And sometimes discover that what you thought was sad may have just been you spending too much time on Twitter and Netflix. My buddy Derek was out running with his dog Saturday morning. I waved, but he couldn't see me through the southeast squint. When you have to keep your eyes open enough to see where you're running, but can't afford to open them too far, since the wind-assisted rain sometimes feel like a shower of darts. I didn't feel guilty that he was exercising and I was driving, because I was up and at the river before the sun, trying to trick steelhead with feathers and yarn tied to a hook.
And you speak about your outdoor adventures. What types of things do you do? Obviously, it sounds steelhead fishing. What other things do you do?
Steelhead fishing, it's kind of, and that was another thing that I wanted to add, or the reason for doing the book, is that a lot of people come up here. There's, you know, a multi-million-dollar industry of people coming up to Alaska and telling their fishing or hunting story. But I wanted to provide that local feel, like, well, you know, what is it like in October? What is it like in January? So I wanted to provide that. And so, you know, January, February is kind of dealing with the weather and some, you know, early steelhead fishing, and then halibut fishing, shrimping, and just kind of going through the year with what's available to us outdoors, hunting, camping, fishing, all that sort of stuff. So it's meant to be like recreation all outside, but ended up being a little different.
And it sounds like it's written really for everyone, maybe anyone who is interested in learning more about Alaska and what life is like here.
Yeah, I wanted it to be as broad as possible. Sometimes you get those, you had to be there stories that are great for maybe you and the person who was there, but, you know, the audience, if they weren't there, and they weren't there, that makes it difficult for them to kind of relate. So I wanted to keep an audience in mind that could have been someone that's down south and wants to come up here. Someone who has been up here, or then definitely the locals who were, you know, living through it and have the same sort of memories and live the same sort of lifestyles as we do.
And can relate to it.
Yeah, exactly.
So can you read a little bit from a later portion in the book where it's during the pandemic when you really didn't expect to be writing about something like this?
Yeah. I would wake up at like 2 a.m. So I'm not reading anything right now, but just as like a reflection and a startup, that I would wake up at 2 or 3 a.m. and just be concerned with how I worded certain things, because it became such a year of, you know, just dissent and so angry, and people heard things the way, or interpreted things the way they wanted to, rather than just what was actually written or said. And so I was really worried about that, because I didn't want to put, you know, students in a bad light, or the school board, or the community members, or other teachers. And so I was really trying to be as careful as possible with that. And I'm not a political writer, you know, that's not what I write. So it's just thoughts and observations, but it did make me really question things a little bit deeper, as far as the role of the outdoors, and, you know, and how important it is during these times to get outside and be able to live in an area that wasn't locked down. And, you know, we could still go, and we could hike if we wanted to. And we had access to the outdoors. And so it really, after probably April, that really became, you know, the tone changed a little bit, became very much more reflective and much more bigger picture. And it's not just fishing for the sake of fishing. It was kind of fishing and outdoors for the sake of mental health. So the part I'm going to read here comes from August. The reason August makes me think of Thoreau is not just because every day in the month is spent outside. It's because August feels like the closest month to modern self-sufficiency. You can live life on a different level. Thoreau's cabin was not a hunting shack where he hung his kill like the ones people have here, far from it. But it's not just about the cabin. The ideas of reflection, essentialism, and living deeply are contemplated now just as in Thoreau's time, but our frame of reference is distorted, as are our priorities. We make worthless content popular and the creators rich by watching it sarcastically. Our productivity and self-sufficiency are nuked by the modern world, and we do very little about it. There's meaning and deep living in the pursuit of real things in the real world. We search for meaning in things that make us more like a participant in life rather than an observer. But for many of this, these are fleeting moments. Of course, these are being perverted by people who turn pure moments into a production and don't leave anything for themselves. Whitman wrote that the answer was existence and the opportunity to contribute a verse. Yet there are so many gaps in society, and also so little space, that people feel they're unable to contribute anything. Emerson wrote about self-reliance, and yet we've removed the self. This scares me. This scares me because modern society is failing people so drastically, yet we keep waiting for someone else to hand us a solution. So kind of tangentially related to the pandemic, but just got me thinking about, you know, how much control we have over our lives and what we can do rather than waiting for, you know, whatever might be coming.
You mentioned that you were being cautious about what you wrote or really thinking about what you put down on paper. Was that through the whole process or just when we hit the pandemic? Did you feel freer in the earlier chapters?
There's always that journalistic ethic of do no harm. And so when you're writing about the outdoors, you know, that's not something you really have to worry too much about because it's so simple and it's just, you know, your thoughts, it's personal. But, you know, just entertaining, you know, writing about the pandemic and George Floyd and the social unrest, I wanted to make absolute sure that I didn't say anything. I didn't have like a really developed opinion on everything. Things were so complex. It was very difficult to know what to think about any of that sort of stuff. You know, you don't know the whole story. There's just so much more out there. And so I didn't want anybody to interpret my words as anything but someone who was just contemplating the complexity of these things. But, you know, that's just kind of anytime that you're creating anything, you're paranoid, you're worried someone's going to, you know, get it wrong or someone's going to, you know, read it wrong or not like it. So that was just part of the insecurity or the imposter syndrome that comes with, you know, writing, expressing, speaking, drawing, whatever. But I just wanted to make sure I hammered down that I wasn't trying to be divisive. I wasn't trying to do anything like that. And I don't think I was. I think it's pretty middle of the road, pretty bland as far as politically charged. But you know, you never know. People read what they want.
Is this the first book that you've written?
I wrote a collection of columns that I published in 2015. That was mostly about my life in California, then moving up here. So this one is more of a linear story, which I really liked. And I'm a better writer now than I was. You know, that just happens. The more you do something, the better you get. So I'm really happy with this one. Really proud of it, the amount of work that I put into it. So I'm pretty excited for people to read it.
Okay. And if people are interested in reading this book, how can they find it?
You can order it on Amazon or Kindle, both versions. It's also available at Parnassus and also at Knutson Cove Marina.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much. And final question, I guess, is do you have any other writing in the works? Are you thinking about starting another book?
I think I'll take a break for now. It's it was pretty fun, but exhausting. And so we'll just kind of see. But it was fun. So at some point, I'll definitely get back on for another story. But for now, just the columns and selling the book, and then we'll see what's in the future.
All right. Well, again, thank you very much for joining me. Jeff Lund, his book, A Miserable Paradise Life in Southeast Alaska, was released in early April.